This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into the Saturday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on episode 5 this week. If you missed any of the other 4 recordings we did, you can find all of those shows on any podcast platform when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles. You can also check them out as well on LockedOnEagles.com, and make sure you follow us on Twitter. We're always talking birds after the show. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiase. LOE. My co-host Gino Camilleri is on Twitter at Gino_LOE, and our show page is at Locked On Birds. Coming up on today's edition of the show, I want to talk about the wide receiver position, what to expect tomorrow against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who is Carson Wentz going to have to throw the football, right? It's always changing. It feels like every single week it's just this merry-go-round of different receivers coming in and out of the lineup. Really, since he was a rookie in 2016, I mean, how much stability has Carson Wentz had at the wide receiver position? Not the pass targets, because Zach Ertz has always been there since he was a rookie. You know, Dallas Goedert has been a reliable target over the last 3 years. Miles Sanders, now a go-to running back in the backfield for a couple seasons. But really, from 2016 to 2020, you know, because like Deshaun Watson has always had DeAndre Hopkins until, you know, Bill O'Brien trades him away. But that was somebody that Watson always had to develop with growing up in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill. Who else? Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton. I'm probably missing a lot of other obvious ones, but you get the point, right? There's a lot of quarterbacks that when they're drafted, their team tries to build around them with elite receivers that they can grow with. Elite young guys that hopefully this quarterback develops a chemistry with for, you know, if all things go right, you know, a decade plus. And, you know, you even look at Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. And while Wentz has had that kind of chemistry with Zach Ertz, at wide receiver, the most stability he had, I guess, was from 2017 to 2019 with Alshon Jeffrey. And we clearly know about the chemistry off the field is not there. And on the field, they never really clicked fully. I mean, Wentz and Nelson Aguilar had a good thing going for a year and a half, 2017. I should say 2 years, 2017 and 2018. But, you know, just it's constantly changing, whether it's Torrey Smith, Golden Tate, Mike Wallace, Deshaun Jackson, Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, Josh Huff, Doriel Green Beckham, and now, you know, Greg Ward. I mean, the list goes on and on. And on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's going to be pretty much that instability once again. No Alshon Jeffrey, no Deshaun Jackson tomorrow against the Steelers. Alshon's still probably a week away, still recovering from that Liz Frank injury he suffered on Monday Night Football last year against the Giants. Deshaun Jackson also ruled out. He's going to miss his second consecutive game with that hamstring injury that he suffered in the second half of the game, week 3, against the Cincinnati Bengals. So no D-Jax, no Alshon, who are arguably your two most talented wide receivers. I would say top 3 with Jalen Reagor as well, who's also out of the lineup. And that's the frustrating thing. It's just nothing that Howie Roseman has done at receiver has worked. I mean, even the young guy, Jalen Reagor, you finally go with a young deep threat and Jalen Rager's hurt. It's just bad luck for Carson Wentz when it comes to the receiver position. Who will be available tomorrow? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was a full participant in practice throughout the week, so he'll play. Not that that really matters, not that JJ really has a positive impact on this offense. Not that Carson Wentz even trusts him to target him at all. He has, what, one target this year, and it was a drop. And that's why he only has one target, because he can't catch the football or create any sort of separation when he's on the field. Quez Watkins, my guy from Southern Mississippi, the Eagles' sixth-round draft pick, the second fastest 40 time of any receiver in the 2020 NFL draft. He has been activated to the 53-man roster. He's been dealing with an injury since training camp. Not sure how much he's going to play, but Quez Watkins is going to dress, and so is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So, likely what to expect tomorrow. It's probably going to be the starting three you had against San Fran last week. It's going to be Greg Ward in the slot, it's going to be John Hightower on the outside, and 11 personnel, and it's going to be Travis Fulgham. But I am really excited to see Quez Watkins. Hopefully this is like a, we're going to activate him and actually play him. This isn't going to be like Jordan Howard nonsense last year, right? Remember where, you know, he dresses week 17 and he plays one snap. I'm not sure the severity of Quez's injury still, but he was activated to that 21-day practice window a couple weeks ago, and now they're willing to dress him tomorrow. So even if it's just a couple snaps, I mean, he has explosive ability to make any play go to the house, and I think he also is going to be able to help in the return game, which has been abysmal for the Eagles. The kickoff game, the punt return game, it has not been good for Philadelphia, so Quez hopefully can light a fire under that unit. JJ, I don't want out there. And isn't that sad? Like, I don't want a second round pick on the field over, let's see, two undrafted players in Greg Ward and Travis Fulgham, a fifth round pick in John Hightower, and a sixth round pick in JJ Arcega-Whiteside. That's just life for JJ right now. I've lost complete confidence in him. I think the organization has. I think Carson Wentz has. Doug Peterson, because even when JJ was healthy at the start of the year, John Hightower, before proving anything, now he's made some big plays, right? That huge fourth down conversion last week on primetime football to save the season, basically, early on here. Now he's going to stay on the field, but even to start the season, John Hightower was beating out JJ in snaps. Greg Ward was beating out JJ in snaps. That's just the way it is right now. He is a bust of a second-round pick until he proves us otherwise, and right now he's shown me no indication that he's going to do that. So no Alshon Jeffrey tomorrow, no DeSean Jackson. It's going to be likely Ward, Hightower, and Fulgham with Watkins and Arcega-Whiteside sprinkled in there as well. I want to get into DeSean Jackson coming up next. This reunion has sucked. It has not gone the way that I foresaw. The Eagles hoped it would. Carson Wentz, who did develop a good chemistry with Jackson, he just has not been available, and I want to get into that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, which is brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. They remember your order, call you by name, always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile. But right now, more than ever, they need our support, so let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, help your team score and choose to shop at local businesses. While you're there, look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, the official partner of the NFL. We're also sponsored today by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here. We already see that it's very different with COVID-19, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into segment two of this Saturday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. We've done four other episodes this week, so again, subscribe to Locked On Eagles and go check out those other four. We sat down with Christopher Carter of Locked On Steelers on Thursday to preview this matchup tomorrow against the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. If the Eagles win, they're right back on track at 2-2-1, and they'll remain in first place in the NFC East. Even if they lose at 1-3-1, it's crazy because that sounds like a disaster, but in the NFC East, they would still have a chance, and who knows, they might still be in first place regardless of their result tomorrow. If they're going to win against this really good Steelers team, a really good Steelers defense that has three of the top five players that get to the quarterback the fastest this year on their defensive line, in TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, and Stephon Tuitt. If they're going to get a win against that elite unit, if Carson Wentz is going to continue to roll the way he did against San Fran last week, they're going to need their receivers to step up again. And who is that going to be? Like I said in segment one, it's not going to be Alshon Jeffrey. It's not going to be DeSean Jackson. It's going to be Travis Fulgham, John Hightower, Greg Ward, Quez Watkins, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Because DeSean Jackson, once again, dealing with that soft tissue injury, a hamstring that continues to bother him, and not sure how long this injury has been really lasting. We know that he had to come out of the game against Cincinnati week three, so we know that's kind of when it started, to the point where he had to be held off the field. But with DeSean, I mean, look, this is a 34-year-old player that it's concerning when you see, like, last year's injury I wasn't nervous about because it was such a rare injury. It was the most severe Deshaun has ever suffered. And it wasn't like a recurring thing, right? An abdomen injury isn't something that he had a history of. It's not something that you're going to continue to have after surgery, at least most of the time. Whereas with soft tissue problems, if you have hamstring injuries, those last no matter how old you are, right? Especially if you have a history of it. We know through Sidney Jones, who's a 24-year-old kid who just cannot stay on the field because of hamstring injuries after that torn Achilles. Whereas, not that, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, not that the torn Achilles caused the hamstring stuff, but you get the point. Like, the lower body injuries just continued over and over again with the likes of Sidney Jones and Sam Bradford. And when you're a 34-year-old player like Jackson who relies on speed and explosiveness, this is not an injury that you want to hear he's going to keep suffering. And that's holding him out for now 2.5 weeks. And it's just disappointing because you see on the field, you still see that old Deshaun Jackson. You see the speed, you see the explosiveness, you see the great route running, the hands. The ability is there, but at 34, the age is showing with these injuries, and that's concerning. I guess it's why the team wanted him on a snap count to start the year, knowing how fragile he is right now, that they wanted him to last the majority of the season. And it just sucks that it hasn't worked out. I mean, this Deshaun Jackson reunion hasn't worked out, just like pretty much everything else Howie Roseman has done at receiver. Not that he hasn't tried, but, you know, Torrey Smith was the most success you've had trying to find a burner on the outside for Wentz, and even Torrey Smith wasn't great in 2017. Mike Wallace didn't work out. Golden Tate didn't work out. Jalen Reagor, not that it's not going to work out, but he hasn't been available. Really, at receiver, most things outside of Alshon Jeffrey have not worked. Dorial Green-Beckham didn't work in 2016. You know, Nelson Aguilar worked for a couple years there. Not that that was Howie, that was a Chip Kelly pick, but, you know, they kept him. They kept bringing back Jordan Matthews. That never worked. And Deshaun kind of joins that, where this reunion sucked. And you guys know, me of all people, I wanted this to work out really badly because Jackson felt like that missing piece the Eagles offense did not have. And then last year, week one, it starts with an electric factory of a performance against Washington, 9 catches for 154 yards and 2 touchdowns. And you said, like, there it is. They've got the tight ends. They've got the big bodies in Alshon Jeffrey. They've got the fast guy in the slot in Nelson Aguilar. All you needed was that deep threat, that home run hitter like a Deshaun Jackson. And he played that part very well. But since then, he's just not been available on the football field. And it's just, it's disappointing because they need that badly. This offense is so compact, where you saw last week, even though it was a great performance from Wentz and, you know, Travis Fulgham and Greg Ward and John Hightower, they all made huge plays in a high-pressure situation. You know, it's a must-win game on the road, primetime football against a good San Francisco 49ers team, and you've got these rookies, these practice squad players making big-time plays for Wentz, but you could just see that it took everything out of them to get every yard. Like, nothing came easy. They had to fight for every single yard they could get, and, you know, that's the case when you don't have Jackson out there, when you don't have Jeffrey, and that's just, I think, the nature of the beast now in 2020. They kind of, not that Howie put all of his eggs in the Jeffrey Jackson basket, right? He did draft Jalen Reagor. He did sign, or I should say trade for Marquise Goodwin, who opted out of the 2020 season because of COVID. He did draft John Hightower. He did draft Quez Watkins. He, you know, did draft J.J.R. Thigga-Whiteside in the second round last year, and he hoped he was going to get something out of him this year. So not that he just said, we're going to just run it back with D-Jax and Jeffrey, but, you know, he didn't trade for DeAndre Hopkins. He didn't trade for Stephon Diggs like the Bills did and the Cardinals did. He held off on offering a contract to Robbie Anderson, who's killing it right now for the Carolina Panthers. Even Breshad Perriman, not that Perriman is a very good receiver. You know, he hasn't done anything for the Jets this year, battling injuries. And for the most part, the majority of his career, he's been a first-round bust. But he had a hot end of the season last year in Tampa. People thought maybe he'd be a fit for Philly. I know I did. And the Eagles just, it felt like they weren't considering it at all. And I think Jackson and Jeffrey played a role in that, not wanting to trade for a receiver, not wanting to sign somebody like Robbie Anderson. And even though they drafted 3 receivers and they drafted Hightower and Watkins, they passed on somebody like Van Jefferson in the second round, and I'm sure because of JJ and Jackson and Jeffrey, that played a role in that. And that's big, because right now, Jackson and Jeffrey aren't helping you at all. You could really use a Van Jefferson right now on that football field, and especially with Jalen Reagor out as well. They need all the help they can get. And so, yeah, this reunion has just not worked. And again, it's not that Howie Roseman hasn't tried to surround Wentz with talent at receiver, but everything he has done has been a flop, unfortunately. So no D-Jacks tomorrow. Wentz is going to have to do it once again, pretty much by himself.
When Jackson does come back, and I think that'll probably be next week against Baltimore, I'm letting him loose. I'm unleashing him. I'm going to try to get out as much of his speed and ability that I can at this point, because, you know, I know they put him on a snap count to start the year because Doug Peterson said they wanted to, you know, make him last throughout the season. They wanted him available for when games are very important down the stretch, and, you know, you want him in the playoffs. Last year, you didn't have him available in that wild card round against Seattle. He almost came back against Green Bay if they could have won that game, but, you know, Josh McCown couldn't get it done. So I get, like, wanting to put him in bubble wrap, but if you're going to continue to struggle on offense to put up production, you're not going to have any games that are going to matter down the stretch to use DeSean Jackson. So if I'm the Eagles, when Jackson comes back, I'm not trying to protect him long term from anything. This is probably his last year with the Eagles at 34 years old. With that cap hit, they're probably going to move on next year. Maybe he takes a pay cut and stays. If not, he's probably gone. And so what are you waiting for? Especially with your situation right now at 1-2-1, when Jackson comes back, use him. Use him in the screen game. Use him on reverses. They said they were going to start using him as a punt returner again, which no team has really done since the miracle in the New Meadowlands in 2010. It's been a decade since Jackson has been used in that area, and he still has the speed to do it. So the snap count clearly didn't work to keep him healthy anyway. So when he's back, just use him. Even if you only get a couple games out of him, that's more than what you're doing right now. Right now, it's useless having him come in and out of the lineup. It still got him hurt, and he wasn't making a big enough impact anyway. I mean, he was playing pretty well. He made some big plays against Washington and Los Angeles and against Cincinnati. Like, he caught the balls that were there. He was getting open, but it wasn't a big enough impact. Even with him being healthy, I'd rather have him have some big games like he did against Washington last year, and maybe it's just three or four of them. Whatever, that's going to get you more wins than keeping him on this snap count. I mean, he's still going to be in and out of the lineup anyway, so when he comes back, I'm using number 10 as much as I can. And what's interesting, I want to get into it in segment 3, it feels like that's when Wentz plays the best. And is that something that is like, is that a trend that you're going to see continue? Is there a reason for that? Is it just random? We'll get into that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, Eagles fans, we're wrapping up this Saturday edition of Locked On Eagles, getting into the wide receiver position, one that is just always changing in the city of Philadelphia. They haven't really had stability at this position outside of 2017 and 2018, I guess. I guess you can consider, would you consider Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor stability? I guess you would for those 2 years, but outside of that, it's just, it's been a shaky position since DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. I mean, let's be real. Honestly, it's been like that for the majority of the Eagles' history, because even before Jackson and Maclin, you know, Donovan McNabb was throwing to T.O. for a year and a half, and before that it was Todd Pinkston and James Thrash and Freddie Mitchell. It's just, it's, you know, it's a position that the Eagles haven't had a great history at. Of course, you got like a Hall of Famer in Harold Carmichael and Mike Quick, but for the most part, even Randall Cunningham didn't have consistency at the receiver position. And so that's the same thing here with Wentz. It's kind of crazy. The guy with the most ability at receiver throughout the Eagles' history at quarterback is Michael Vick. Cunningham didn't have it. Maybe Jaws, maybe Ron Jaworski, but Cunningham didn't have it. Donovan McNabb didn't have it. And Carson Wentz has not had it. And yet, you watched them last week, you watched them down the stretch in 2019, you see how they struggled for the majority of the 2019 season when Alshon Jeffrey was healthy, when Nelson Agholor was healthy. Last year, the same thing. This year, same thing the first couple weeks. Even though Jeffrey was out, they had DeSean Jackson out there, they had the majority of their receivers, they had Jalen Reagor, and for some reason they just don't. I saw Michael Robinson talk about this on NFL Network. The Eagles play better with their backups right now, and it's kind of puzzling. I don't know why this team can't play. Not that they're ever at full strength, but when they're close to it, the last 3 years, they really haven't played that well at full strength. Outside of the last time they really got hot when they were healthy was the end of 2018, where Nick Foles got hot with Alshon and Agholor and Golden Tate. But since then, it feels like Wentz, he thrives with Deontay Burnett and Greg Ward and Travis Fulgham and Robert Davis, Joshua Perkins, and I wonder why. It's a really interesting thing. Maybe it's because Wentz feels too much pressure to give guys the ball when they're healthy, or maybe now he's feeling the pressure and he thrives in that kind of situation. I think what it is that Wentz feels that nothing to lose kind of mentality when he's got those guys out there. Like, he knows he doesn't have to do too much thinking. He just has to go out there and elevate this team and do what he does, right? He can play loose, he can play free, because he knows that's the only way that they're going to be able to generate any sort of offensive production, right? Where maybe he's holding back that aggressiveness, maybe he's thinking too much, and again, about getting the ball to certain players when they're healthy, whereas now he's saying, all right, I'm just going to run around, I'm going to play backyard football, because that's the way we win football games. And honestly, it always looks like Carson Wentz is more comfortable when he does that. He's a more accurate quarterback when he does that outside the pocket. He just looks better when he's running around, and seems like, you know, he's at rock bottom, and now all he can do is throw and run his way back to the top, and he does that better with backups. I don't know. And it's not just Wentz, but the entire team seems like they have way more fight in them when they're backed into a corner, and when they know we all have to step up because, you know, we're just so injured that a lot of these inexperienced guys are not going to do it. They don't feel that fire, that pressure, it seems like, that fight when people are healthy. Maybe because they all just rely on the other too much. It just seems like Wentz, even like the stars that are healthy, when there's injuries across the roster, those players just seem to play better. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Carson Wentz, you know, Miles Sanders. I don't know. It's an interesting thing that they've maybe gotten used to over the past couple years, and they're going to have to do it again tomorrow. It'll be really interesting to have this conversation again down the road. If they go into Pittsburgh, an undefeated Steelers team tomorrow, and they get their second straight win against a good team to go 2-2-1 and stay in first place in the NFC East. It's crazy. Look, I don't think they're going to be favored. They shouldn't be favored. They're not to win that game tomorrow. I don't think they're going to win it, unfortunately. But if they do, I mean, it's going to be a fun week to talk about the Eagles on Locked On Eagles. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, because we got 4 to 6 episodes a week being downloaded into your phone every single week. And you can also check out every episode on LockedOnEagles.com. I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast. Follow me on Twitter @DiBiase, LOE. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go Birds.